from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Roz, yes. And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
KISS 92.5, this is Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Marcella.
What's up, Marcella?
I'm just calling in to tell you guys that Maury is absolutely hilarious, and he is my favorite for sure.
How old are you?
I'm 11.
Clearly, you don't know enough about the world yet.
No, I do.
Okay, what do you know about the world?
Well, I know all about you guys because I listen to you guys every morning on the drive to school.
Okay, so you're sitting right now on our phone line at line two. And for the past 10 minutes, because you have been on hold for a very long time.
Yes, I have been.
Right, okay. So I was wondering why Maury, every 30 seconds, was pointing his finger going, line two! Line two!
Hurry up, take line two!
Okay, do you want to talk to Damon Maury?
Yes.
Okay.
Damon Maury, there's an 11-year-old on the phone for you. Okay. Marcella, say good morning to Damon Maury.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. What can I do for you?
Is it? You're supposed to just have a conversation.
I thought I'm supposed to play dumb, like I don't know why she's on hold.
No.
Maury, you're the one that put her on hold, and we just talked about that.
I know, but I thought I'm supposed to be like, why is she calling?
You're supposed to have a conversation.
we just said that you used a phony voice when she called, so you know that this girl is a huge fan. And
I know,
now,
but I thought I'm supposed to play the charade.
No, just get on the phone and say, hey, what's your name again, sweetheart?
Marcella.
Marcella, just say, hey, Marcella, listen, I hear that you're a big fan. Super nice to meet you. Thanks for listening, and it means a lot.
Marcella.
You're welcome.
Yeah, oh, so you don't have to say
that. Now we see why you like him so much, Marcella. He's great with words.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
You too.
Hey, before we go, hold on a second here. There's something wrote me something on stupid Twitter last night that they wanted us to do today, and I said no problem.
Oh.
Hold on.
I have it here.
You do? Okay, what did they write?
This is at KISS925. I know you guys like quick little challenges. This is, by the way, from Lisa Mason.
Okay.
I know you guys like quick little challenges. Could you get Dammit Maury to try and say toy boat three times fast?
Toy boat three times fast. Okay, Maury, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
No, okay.
That's it?
Maury,
can do it again?
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
No, try. Actually, try.
I'm trying. Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
You can't even say it once.
Just okay, slow it down. Say the words individually.
So can I just do it slow first so I can make my mouth used to it?
Yes.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
Okay. Okay. Now 3, 2, 1, go.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat. Okay. Do 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Because that makes a difference.
Because that makes a huge difference.
Okay. Instead of saying 3, 2, 1, Roz, why don't you say 1, 2, 3?
Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy.
Okay.
Toy boat, toy boat, boat. Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
Okay. Toy boat. Okay.
I swear, at some point, if we keep getting him to do this, I swear at some point, he's going to end up saying toy boy.
Yeah. Okay. Try toy boy.
Toy boy? Okay.
Do toy boy three times fast.
Toy boy, toy boy, toy boy.
So toy boat is far more difficult than doing toy boy.
Toy boat. Toy boy, toy boy.
I sound like a different person. Try it again.
One more time. Are we doing toy boat or toy boy?
Let's try one of each.
Okay, so try to do toy boat three times fast.
Toy boat, toy boat.
Okay, now try to say toy boy three
toy
times.
Toy boy, toy boy. Oh, my voice is making me laugh.
That's me. Okay, one more time.
Toy boy, toy. Toy boy. Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you get the flu this year?
I did not.
No. Did you get the flu shot?
I did not.
No.
No.
Have you ever had the flu shot?
I did. And the one year that I got the flu shot, I remember I got sick real bad that year.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't want to go through this again. So ever since I stopped getting the flu shot,
yeah,
I haven't really been getting sick. Last year, sniffles, but this year, no. I know my wife got it this year, and she had it for like maybe 3 days, and it hit her pretty bad, and she didn't get the flu shot either.
So everybody's trying to think of all these ways to just not get the flu, and there's all sorts of new info coming out aside from the flu shot.
Oh, okay. Like
we
vitamin
all,
C.
We all know washing your hands, vitamin C. Catherine swears on, my girlfriend swears on, what is that junk called? Olive oil? No, not olive oil.
Oh, oil of oregano.
Thank you. Under the tongue.
Uh-huh.
Which is so vile tasting.
Yeah.
But there's a new study that says if you take a cold shower, even for just 30 seconds,
mm-hmm,
people who did that took 29% fewer sick days in a year.
What?
A cold shower. The theory is this.
Okay.
That cold water really gets the hormones in your body working.
Yeah.
Which can be good for your overall health and maybe even help you lose weight. But they say a cold shower, even for 30 seconds of the day, can be one of the things that drastically
now,
helps you to not get the flu.
Is this, let's say, you wake up, you go to work, you come home, and then you hop in the shower for 30 seconds and then you continue the rest of your evening? Or is it saying, do you think it might be you take your regular shower and then during the last 30 seconds, you just blast that cold water?
I think that it's that. I think that it could be either. Now, would you start with the cold or would you end with the cold?
I say you have to end with the cold.
No chance.
For that to work. And which is absolutely not. I would never, ever do that.
But cold showers, you would never do it.
No. No. No thanks.
But cold showers are only for when you've done something wrong.
What do you mean? Is like a punishment?
Yeah, cold showers are always a punishment.
For who? For doing what? What have you done where you were punished with a cold shower, and who punished you?
It's always the case. Like if you've done something wrong,
what do you mean always the
go
case?
And take a cold shower.
Hold on, no, like are you telling me that if you and Matthew, you're in the condo and you were supposed to take out the trash, you didn't take out
no,
the trash,
I meant when
and
I
Matthew
was a kid.
Yells at you and he's like, go get in that cold shower for 30 seconds?
No,
when
pause
I was
one.
A kid.
Okay, who? So
Matthew's not sending me to a call. I just tell him to
no,
go
see,
to
when
home.
I grew up, maybe I grew up in a different time, but to me, they would tell somebody to go take a cold shower if they were amorous.
A priest told me that once.
A priest told you that?
Uh-huh.
What's amorous?
Geez, amorous.
I thought that's like a colored rock.
More.
Amethyst.
Can you turn my microphone off for 1 second?
Yeah.
Horny.
Hey! Oh, I thought you said turn the music down too.
No, I said turn my microphone off.
Oh. No, I just said turn my microphone
off. Everybody heard
you. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Come on, man. You tell me out like that.
I turned the microphones off.
And you turn the music off?
I turned the music off.
So why don't you just say it into your mic then?
How am I supposed to say something in private in here, man?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Sell me out like that.
I didn't
but
mean
that was.
So cold shower sends it away?
That's what they had said. But why? What was the circumstances when you were young where you would do something wrong and somebody would punish you with
like
a cold shower?
Like if I didn't
shower.
Do my homework, go take a cold shower.
Who would say that?
Frank.
Your dad.
Your dad. Yeah. You
Frank Sherman.
Hold on.
Would tell you to take a cold shower if you didn't do your homework.
And if I didn't go out and play ball, go and take a cold shower.
But was the reason you weren't doing your homework because you were so horny? Or
sorry.
Did you didn't leave my... You
no.
Jerk. No, I'm just kidding. You say it once, you might as well say it 1,000 times.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Fellas.
What?
Y'all want to play Pinched?
Okay.
New game alert.
New game alert. Okay.
This is Pinched.
Play. I don't think 2018 has been too good to me, Roz.
No, you have not. Maury has been like whooping you at Pinched.
Oh, I know. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Even my wife is disappointed.
Like,
on a day where I lose at Pinched,
yeah.
I dread going home because the first conversation that happens is, how could you lose to Maury at Pinched
now,
again?
The question I would have, so Maury, with all your victories lately in Pinched, I imagine that you walk in the house and Matthew's extremely proud of you.
No, he doesn't listen to the show.
Okay. So how Pinched works is trivia-based Mocha versus Maury. In between them on the desk is a big pile of old-school wooden clothes pegs that hurt. Get a question right, you get to take one of those clothes pegs and pinch your opponent with it. Put it anywhere on their body that you see fit. It's a lot of fun. Gentlemen, your categories today are rhymes with dead, Hey, yeah. And hey, aren't you that bald guy from?
All right.
I believe, Mocha, you picked the category last time. Maury, it is your turn to pick the category.
Rhymes with dead.
Rhymes with dead. Mocha, can I hear your buzzer? Maury? Again, Mocha? Maury. Okay, category rhymes with dead. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes.
You can find me hiding inside a pencil. Maury.
Lead.
Right.
Oh, man.
Mocha. Mocha.
What?
Rhymes with dead.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. So Maury is going. Yeah. Where is he?
Eyes? He's what do you mean? Like eyeballs?
Like in the vicinity.
Okay. So okay, where Maury's in going the right on the eyebrow. Right on the corner of the eyebrow.
That's where
smart.
I used to have the piercing.
Oh, that's smart.
That freaking hurts.
Oh, you should be used to that.
Mocha just went up on his tiptoes and cocked one hip way out to the side.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to the category of rhymes with dead.
Yeah.
If you lick me, I'll slide through that tiny hole much easier. Maury.
Rhymes with dead. I don't know.
Mocha?
If you lick me...
I'll slide through that tiny hole much easier.
Maury started buzzing so quickly his shoe fell off.
What do you want, Maury?
I want to say the answer.
Which is?
If I say it, is it my win?
No.
Oh, then I'm not saying it.
Oh, Mocha, time is running out in 3, 2, 1. If you lick me, I'll slide through that tiny hole much easier. Maury?
Is it my answer?
Yeah, well, it's not going to count, but yes, go ahead.
Thread.
Correct.
Oh. Okay, okay.
Two different minds.
You had me unlicked.
Okay, here we go. Moving on. Still in the category of rhymes with dead. Not a sleigh, but a... Maury.
Slay.
No, Mocha.
Sled.
Sled. Oh. Not a sleigh, but a sleigh. Okay,
Maury.
Mocha's going in now.
Please open your mouth.
Oh.
You always say that, but then I get scared because you're going to tongue it.
No, you can't tongue it because you have to be able to talk.
Okay. Nope. Just open your mouth. Damn it.
Okay. Maury. So it's going right on the corner of the mouth. Oh, oh.
Oh.
Oh, that looks like it hurts. Okay. Continuing on in the category of rhymes with dead, what cool people call money. Mocha.
Bread.
Yes, correct.
All right. Damn, Maury. Please open your mouth one more time.
Oh, no. Okay, now he's going right on that top lip. Oh, go. That looks like it hurts more.
Like it's literally tipping it.
Oh, okay. Now the category of, hey, aren't you that bald guy from? Hey, aren't you that bald guy from that doctor show that Oprah discovered? Mocha.
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Open your mouth.
Oh, no, he's going back in the mouth.
That's what she said.
Oh, no, that's your gums, you...
Oh. Listen, this is the way the game
It almost looks like you're about to call him a foot, Maury. That's my gum, you foot.
Oh, you're taking tooth as well.
Can you stop moving?
Yeah, but you're clamping tooth and gum and lip.
Here, pull your lip out.
Casey's going back on the top
there
lip.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow. Hey, aren't you that bald guy from Fast and Furious? Mocha.
Vin Diesel.
I would have accepted The Rock. I would have accepted Tyrese or Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Maury, open your mouth again.
Oh, that looks like it hurts. He looks like you have a big, long mustache. You look like a walrus right now. Okay. Hey, aren't you that bald guy from Deal or No Deal? Maury.
Howie Mandel.
Who?
Howie Mandel.
Who?
Howie Mandel.
I can't understand that.
Yes, you can. It's Howie Mandel.
Mocha for the steal?
Howie Mandel.
Yes. No, I'm kidding. Maury, you go ahead. You go ahead, Maury. Come on.
Maury just threw his shoe across the room.
Okay, Maury. Here we go. Mocha has one. Maury has four.
Where you going?
Oh, right Adam on the neck. Apple. Right on the
Adam's apple?
Yeah. Just a little bit of that skin right there.
Oh my God, okay. The skin is all dead there.
Final question for hey, aren't you that bald guy from?
This hurts, guys.
Hey, aren't you that bald guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm? Maury.
Larry David.
Right.
My idol.
Thank you, Oprah. Okay. So one last one for
Mocha. I
think
I did pretty well.
Don't freaking hurry up.
Okay, right in the nose.
Ah,
oh, God.
Oh,
okay.
Ow,
let me count them up.
Ow.
Let me count them up. Mocha, you have 1, 2, 3. Maury, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. Today's winner of Pinched is Mocha. Mocha. Congratulations, Mocha. Congratulations.
Finally, new year, new me.
The
Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
If you're going to be traveling with your kids anytime soon, do it with Air Transat and take advantage of the Kids Club. It makes your family vacation that much better and that much easier.
If you've ever traveled with a kid, it can be a nightmare. You haven't done a full travel with your kid yet, have you?
No, soon though.
You just wait.
Why?
You just wait. Kids get bored. And when kids get bored,
they fall asleep.
No, they don't. They become nightmares.
Oh, they won't just like sit there and be like, okay, I'll listen to you, mom and dad, and sit here and be quiet.
Yeah, whatever you say. Yeah. No, that doesn't happen on a plane. That is why Air Transat does their very best to help out the parents with the kids. So it is Kids Club, as Mocha said. What that gives you, dedicated family check-in counter, pre-boarding, priority baggage handling, and onboard surprises for the kids. All these things are designed to make sure your kid doesn't get bored sitting around wasting their time.
And you can choose from a variety of family-friendly resorts where kids can stay and eat for free. On top of all that, when you become a Kids Club member, you will automatically be entered to win a trip. Maybe go on that trip without your kids. I don't know.
Well, a lot of these resorts have places you can just drop your kid off, so you don't have to vacation with your kid.
Oh, so the only time you get to spend with them is on the plane there and on the plane back.
Hence, join Kids Club.
The Air Transat Kids Club, open to all children ages 2 to 11. Registration is absolutely free. Just go to airtransat.com.
All right, let's take a phone call.
Roz and Mocha.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. My daughter birthday today, and I just wanted to see if she could say hi to you.
Sure.
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Noelle.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How old are you today?
11.
What?
What's the best thing about being 11 so far?
I guess just being older.
Yeah. What was the best thing about being 10?
That it was probably... That was an even number.
Oh, okay. Yeah. True. It's exactly. What was the worst thing about being 10?
That wasn't like 13 or 14 because I wanted to like watch like movies that were not old enough. I wasn't old enough yet.
Like PG-13 and stuff like that?
Yeah.
When did your mom say that you're allowed to get your own phone?
I don't have one yet.
No, but at what age? Have you guys had that conversation yet?
Yes, many times.
What did she... Well, so you want one now, obviously.
Yeah.
Because you have friends at school that have phones, right?
Yeah.
At 10. Can you believe that, Mocha?
No.
10.
No, I can't.
So what did your mom say? What age are you able to get your own phone?
I'm not allowed to get one yet. No. There's no point of needing one.
Right. That's your view of smart parents. And how do you feel about that?
It kind of sucks because there's a girl in my school and she's in grade 2 and she has a phone.
Yeah.
Grade 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? But does that seem nuts to you though?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that, like 6 years old, 6, 7 years old?
Yeah. Do you have a computer at home?
I'm going to get one.
Okay. But there is a computer in the house, right?
Yes. There's like 3 computers.
Okay. So here's what you need to do. You need to go and you know how to use Google and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And your mom can help you out with this. Okay. You're going to start Googling things like dopamine and what it means to get a rush out of something like social media and how that is potentially addictive and dangerous for a kid as any drug or alcohol is.
No.
This is your project. Mocha and I are going to need a written essay from you by the end of your 11th year, okay? So before you turn 12, you need to submit to us a factual argument against giving cell phones and social media to young kids, okay? You need to take the argument of you need to fight against it, and then maybe at some point your mom will consider giving it one now that you know what the consequences are.
Okay.
Hey, Noelle.
Yeah?
I bet this is not the way you thought the conversation was going to be, huh?
Hey, Noelle. Put your mom back on the phone. Put your mom back on the phone.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Andrea.
You're welcome, by the way.
We're a huge fan. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andrea. Happy birthday, Noel.
Thank you.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Are we in the anniversary of Ray of Light, Maury?
Am I
to believe that?
Ray of Light anniversary was on Friday.
So we missed it.
20 years. And I had an insane dance party at home.
How insane? How many people showed up?
It was me.
Yeah. Oh. It can still be insane.
Dude, it was loud.
Yeah. Dude, it was loud.
Was Matthew home?
No, Matthew's at work.
What were you what were you dancing to? What was the track?
Oh my God, I could literally listen. That is like the best album of all time, and here's why. Let me tell you why.
Go for it.
You could put it on track one, listen through to the entire thing, and I would know every lyric. I know every single song, whether it's Mer Girl, Power of Goodbye, everything. I know it's.
You know every lyric.
Yeah, you start a song, I'll sing along.
I think the intro for the song is super long, is it not?
I think so, yeah. Oh boy, this is right? So 90s.
Dude, it's so lit though. The song is so lit. I like this music, man. I like this vibe. I wish.
Do you remember the video? Sky at night, she's falling. Trying to remember where it all began.
It's like Maury's in another dimension. Just stop for a second, Maury.
Yeah.
You got like no words right whatsoever from the beginning of that song. You couldn't even match tempo at all.
I mean, who's wrong in this situation?
You are. Here, let's start again.
Okay.
Sky at night.
Pause.
I'm
you missed the first word.
Yeah, well, I mean,
You said you know every single word. Including the first.
Start it again.
Okay, start it again. Here we go.
Okay, shh. In the sky.
No, still missed the first word.
Start it again. Zephyr in the sky at night, I'm falling.
Put your headphones on, man. You can't even hear what's going on. Like, what is the matter with you?
Your ray of light party at home, it sounds super awesome, dude.
And you know what the problem is too, is that I actually really love this song.
Zephyr in the sky at night, I'm falling under. Do my tears of mourning sink beneath the sun? I'm a little fast.
2, 3, and...
Bite off a universe, come quickly.
No, wrong.
Where the thunder.
No.
Threatens everyone.
Before the thunder thunders everyone.
And I feel like I just got home and I feel.
It's a tough note to hit, huh, bro? It's a really tough note to hit. Keep going.
Okay.
Let me back off the mic a little bit.
Home and I feel.
Here we go. Okay, that's verse one down.
Here we go. It's time to shine, one, baby.
Two. One, two, three, four.
Then a speeding light, she's flying, trying to remember where it all began.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. As I said, your ray of light party at home sounds super lit, bro. KS92.5. Hello, Roz and Mocha.
Hi. It's I was just so pumped to hear Ray of Light, and then you guys got to play that now.
You mean the Maury version?
No, thank you.
Oh, not the Maury version.
Not the Maury version at all.
Are you sure?
We could hook you up with that.
Not at all.
Acapella style.
No, got to hear Ray of Light, though.
Okay, we'll do that for you. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. What's your name? Tina?
Tina,
on the 20th anniversary of Ray of Light, the classic by Madonna, this is for you. I've never done a dedication on the radio show before.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like a disc jockey right now. This is so fantastic.
Mark this date down.
Mark this date down.
You have such a sexy voice.
I know.
I know. Thank you.
Wow.
Okay, Tina. Yeah. This is Madonna with Ray of Light going out to you.
Zephyr in the sky at night,
no,
I'm falling.
No,
do my tears of mourning sink beneath the sun?
The song hasn't aged that well, huh, Tina? I remember it sounding different.
Got herself a universe gone quickly.
That really
do hurt. My tears of mourning sink beneath the sun?
No.
And I feel like I just got home and I feel.
Let's pause on Madonna there for a second. Is that everything you hoped?
Maury?
Love you, Tina.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This is it, baby. Last week in Feb.
I know it's that short month, huh?
Uh-huh.
And then March break, and then...
And then Easter. And then May 2-4.
Oh, let's not get into May 2-4 now.
And then June.
Let's stop that. No, stop. No, stop. Don't do that.
And then the other long weekend.
Don't.
And then Labor Day, then back to school.
No, don't.
You can't rush this.
Don't. That's like when somebody looks at you and go, they look at your kid. They look at my kid who's 8 and they're like, oh God, well, you know, what's it going to be like when she's 17? I'm like, don't do that. Don't rush this process. We're at 8 right now. Sorry. Right?
Yeah.
We're in the end of Feb.
So how do you answer that when they ask that?
I don't answer that question. Because I have no idea. Two, it's none of your business.
Oh, snap. None of your beeswax.
Right? It's none of your beeswax, man.
I mean, there's so many possibilities at 17.
There's a lot of possibilities at 17.
There's a lot of possibilities at 16.
There's a lot of possibilities at 16, but there's also a lot of possibilities at 8, right?
Not the same ones.
But it doesn't matter. Like you know, to be a kid, you know, is something that is such a small period of somebody's life. And anytime somebody tries to age my kid or tells them, oh, you're not a kid anymore, I always get just furious with them because you're only a kid for like 10 years of the 80 years that you're alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like you're a kid for like a very short period of time.
We're only going to live till 80?
Sure. But I don't even, and the problem with being a kid is that you don't even start developing long-term memory until you're like 3. So you don't even remember the stuff from 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4. Yeah. So out of that 10 years you're a kid, you are only remembering like 6 of it.
You gotta ask your parents and you show you the pics on their iPhone.
Right. So
some of the stuff you do remember when you're that young is just still images in your head. Like I can remember just a still.
Of
certain things
from
when
what
I was
age
a little,
though?
From like 4 or 5, but it's just a still.
Sure, but nothing from 1 and 2.
Yeah, no.
Right? Like
earliest memories are from kindergarten, from like junior kindergarten.
Yeah, like you're like four years old.
Yeah. Those are my earliest memories. Like
most
man.
People's earliest
Two
memories.
Earliest memories are playing in daycare, pretending to be a subway with a what do you call it, a wagon. And when Uncle Michael used to tickle my eyebrows.
Okay.
To help me fall asleep. He would tell me that this is what I do to my cat.
Hold on here. Uncle Michael used to rub you like a cat?
But he would do it only above my eyes. He goes, this will help you fall asleep.
Right.
Well, how would he say it? Do you remember how he said it?
Oh, exactly. He goes, I'm going to do to you what I do to my cat.
Okay, question for you, though. We need to clear something up. Because you have a long history of talking about people in your life that you claim are actual relatives that turn out to be just regular people that have no relation to you at all.
Yeah.
Is Uncle Michael actually your uncle?
Yes, he's my dad's brother.
Okay.
He's
not a guy named Michael.
No, Uncle Michael was cool.
He used to hang out at Frank's house all the time.
Right. Okay. But Uncle Michael was cool?
He was so cool. He
because
used to drive
he tickled
sports
you before
cars,
bed?
He was
a
male dancer, yeah.
A male dancer? What do you mean a male dancer?
Like a shirtless male model.
Wait, those are two different things.
Those are two different things.
Model and dancer are two different things.
Like, I just remember a business card of his where he was posed with a shirt off and there was a phone number.
Anywhere on that card, did it say anything about being a male model or about being a dancer?
See, too early of a memory.
What about a tickler?
Oh, the eyebrow tickle?
Same number or different number?
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hello, this is Roz and Mocha.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Dominic. How are you?
Good, man.
Every morning I'm just driving my daughter to school here, and she thinks that you guys, you know, you guys live up in the cloud. You guys play music, you know, in the cloud.
So she thinks that's where we live?
Yeah, she thinks you guys are not real. You guys are just up in the clouds, you know?
Well, I don't know how we can prove that we're real to her. What kind of proof is she looking for?
I don't know. You want to say hi? She's being shy now.
That's fine.
So now
how old is she?
5.
5. Okay.
Well, we are real. We're not living up in the cloud. What's her name?
Olivia.
Hi, Olivia. Can you say hi?
Say hi. Say hi.
It's Roz and Mocha.
No.
That's okay.
Okay, Olivia, at least wave.
Okay, she's waving. Oh,
okay,
yep.
Good. So, okay, so we know there's a kid there because clearly she waved. Because and I'll say this because Moke and I have been in this situation before where some jabroni calls up and then they start saying, hey, my kid in the car really loves you guys and everything else. And then Moke and I are like, hey, little man, what's going on? Oh, that's cool. And we start talking all kid-like and then we find out there's no actual kid in the car and they were just trolling us.
Yeah, right? It's quite embarrassing, sir.
Okay? So we have to have proof that there's an actual kid in the car.
I can assure you there is, my daughter is in the car.
Okay, because she waved.
Because she waved.
I don't know how to prove to you, that we can then prove to you that we don't live in a cloud, although living in a cloud would be quite fantastic.
I would imagine it would be, yes.
Like, does she not think that we're real people or that we're just not on Earth?
I think a bit of both. Olivia, are you going to talk? Come on.
Dude, we get what's going on. There's no kid there. Okay, we're gonna have this conversation with you anyway.
Listen okay? to Dominic.
All right, Dominic. We know that you're the one that actually thinks that Moke and I live in a cloud and aren't real people.
And you need that.
Okay,
proof.
But yeah, you need that proof. But for the sake of your embarrassment, we'll keep talking to your daughter, Olivia.
Quote unquote, Olivia.
Yes. No, she's here. Well, she said, "Can we actually meet them?" And I said, "Well, I'm sure we can meet. I've never met them, but you can if you ever see them, yes."
Of course. Dominic doesn't want to meet us at all. We get it, bro. We get it.
We are 100% real, Olivia, and we do not live in the clouds.
All right. Can you say bye to them at least?
Oh, it's good.
Come on, say bye.
Uh-huh.
There she is. Okay, say it again. They can't hear you. No, louder.
Don't worry, Dominic. We believe you.
We get you, bro. We get you.
Thank you guys so much for calling in today. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Later. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I was actually calling. First of all, I don't understand why when I call, he pretends not to be him.
Who,
Maury?
Yeah.
Okay. Maury, and we have so much evidence of this. Maury, when people call, when he's answering the phones, always uses a different voice other than his own because I truly believe that Maury thinks that it's beneath him to answer phones.
Okay, well, I said, oh, hi, Maury. And he goes, this is not Maury, but can I help you?
What? Hold on. Maury, get in here for a second. What's your name on the phone?
Hiya.
Hiya?
Hiya,
yeah. Hiya, okay.
Hiya, tell me, yeah. Maury, can you please do the voice that you were doing, like, with Hiya just now? Which is the voice that you used?
Hi, Roz and Mocha Show, can I help you?
Okay. And then Hiya said, hi, Maury, and you said what?
No, this is not he.
That is amazing. Here's what's going to happen is we're going to let you go, and now is as good a time as any. We have so many examples, because we've been talking about this for years, and we have so many actual examples now of Maury answering the phones in his various voices, just so people don't think it's him, because he finds it embarrassing that he has to answer phones. I don't know why, but he does. So we'll let you go, and we're going to get to that, okay?
Okay, thanks,
okay,
guys.
Thanks for listening, Hiya.
Thanks, love you guys, bye.
Love you too. Bye.
So when we do contests, oftentimes Maury will come in and use the phone that sits beside me. And there's just microphones everywhere. And so Mocha will record Maury answering phones. What example do you want to lead with here? Because again, this is Maury who pretends to not be Maury when he answers phones.
Just know that it's Maury.
Good morning, Kiss 925. Your caller 1. Try again, please. Good morning, Kiss 925. Your caller 2. Try again, please. Good morning, Kiss 925. Your caller 3. Try again, please. Good morning, Kiss 92.5, your caller 4. Try again, please.
Come on, that is clearly
you,
bro.
You put an English twist on that one.
You got to have different varieties.
So to you, does that sound normal?
I mean, it could be a kid. You know, it could be anybody, right? I
were
mean,
you just about to say it could be a kid or it could be a king?
It could be a king.
A king.
Hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 3. Try again, please. Hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 4. Try again, please. Hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 5. Try again, please.
What are you trying to do with this voice, by the way?
It's my radio voice. Hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 6. Try again, please. Hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 7. Try again, please. Hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 8. Try again, please. Hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 9. Try again, please. Come hey, good morning, Kiss, your caller 10. Try again, please.
Get out of
hey, good
here,
morning,
dude.
Kiss, your caller 11. Try again, please.
Is this when you
hey,
want us to
Hey, good morning, Kiss, your
official?
Caller 12. Try again, please. You know, very
what's up, Kisser caller 13? Try again, please.
Hold on, I have another example. Can I play this real quick?
Yeah.
Hi, the Roz and Mocha Show. Your caller 17. Try again, please. Hi, good morning, the Roz and Mocha Show. Your caller 18. Try again, please. Hi, good morning, the Roz and Mocha Show. Your caller 19. Try again, please.
So what's that one? Sexy secretary? Is that sexy what
you get? See, you get it.
It's like we have a huge staff here of folks answering the phones.
And they're all weird.
Wait, there's no, you mean there's nothing weird about this?
Hey, good morning, Kiss. Your caller 3. Try again, please.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The feeling of getting into a freshly made bed is pretty spectacular.
Oh man!
Okay, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to rank that. I can't say it's the greatest thing ever because it's not the greatest thing ever.
No, I can tell you.
Who made the bed? Because my husband puts the sheets too tight.
Right.
When he tucks them in,
does he tuck the top sheet in?
And he tucks everything in, and he goes, "Don't you like a tight bed?"
Oh, it's like sleeping in a pocket of jeans. At that point,
yeah,
too tight.
I'll tell you what's a fantastic feeling.
Yeah,
is putting on a brand new set of like cotton socks. I just love that feeling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very comfortable.
How often do you make your bed?
Oh, every day.
You make it every day?
Yeah, well, my wife does.
Yeah, okay, that's yeah. All right now.
The last time I made a bed?
Yeah.
Let me see, we've been together like 7 years now, so about 7 years.
7 years, because I suspect people, I'll go through these numbers with you.
Before you give me the numbers, I will say when I was a single guy,
yeah,
I made the bed maybe once every other week. Okay. Maybe.
Making the bed made no sense to me when I was single.
Okay. Maybe.
So according to what I'm reading here, 37% of people say that they always make their bed.
Liars.
And another 19% say that they make it almost every day. So beds are being made, according to this, 56% of the time by 56% of the people every day. Only 7% of people admitted that they never make their bed. 14 say that they rarely made their bed. To me, these numbers don't work.
No.
These numbers don't work.
I think it's a way lower percentage of people that say that they make their bed like once in a while.
But right. Matthew makes the bed twice a day.
Why twice a day?
What?
In the morning when he gets up, and then after when he gets back after my nap.
Okay, right.
And then if there's ever somebody coming over to check on the windows or whatever, if the super's coming over, he'll make the bed.
I think you guys might be under surveillance, Maury, because you have some weird things in your life.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure that you have people coming over so much? Like,
and always when the other person is not home.
Yeah, like there's something called a fan coil. Someone's coming to check a fan coil, Matt.
No, you know what that? You know what that was? That was camera installation. is what that was.
Yeah,
you know, like you get some weird people in and out of your place
all the time.
How many? Like you have mentioned, I would say at least a half dozen times in the last year, which is quite a lot that somebody has come into your place to check the windows.
Yeah. Like, it's probably like the Big Brother house in your spot with the amount of cameras. Like,
if you aren't being, you aren't under surveillance right now, I swear, man, there's no way.
But you know what they'll see on the camera? A made bed.
I know, because Matthew's really particular about that. But no, because I don't make the bed, because I get up every day in my life. I get up before Catherine does.
Yeah.
So I've never made the bed.
But do you like a tight bed? Because here's the thing. When you sleep, do you not like one leg out? And if it's a tight bed, you can't do one leg out.
No, I do. And because I'll tell you my problem, Maury, which is something that you've never and will never understand, is that when I'm in a bed, my feet hang off the end of a bed.
What's that like?
Right. So
do you mean tilted down?
Yeah, sometimes tilted down. Oh, like no. If I sleep on my stomach, my legs go all the way across the bed, and then my feet are tilted down, hanging off.
You need to put a coffee table or something at the end of your bed. That's not the same height.
I need an extension.
So your feet are always dangling.
You know when company comes over and your ma used to put the leaf in the dining room table to make it a little bit bigger? I need a pull out bed leaf at the end of the bed because my toes hang off, like half my foot is off the bed. So if the bed is actually tightly made, I can't fit. My legs are crumpled.
If a cat's walking by at the end of the bed, it brushes your feet?
Yeah, the cat's tail will, yes.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The look of the leather jacket with no shirt on underneath was at one time a very popular look. I have a few times in my life worn a leather jacket with no shirt on underneath it.
Now, with jeans or shorts?
Jeans. Okay. Why in the hell would I wear a leather jacket with shorts?
I don't know.
Where have you ever seen somebody wear a leather jacket and shorts? Hold on, let me Google this for a second.
Wrestlers.
That's true. You're right. You're right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You could look cool and be cool
at the same time.
Leather jacket and shorts. Let me see if this was ever a thing.
A lot of ladies.
Oh. Hold on. Every time, it's so interesting. The way that my fashion choices are, or mainly a lot of my life choices, is that I will Google something, right? I'll Google whatever it is I'm Googling because I'm interested in a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'll Google it, and then I realize what I've Googled, and I have to go back and add the word men's to it. Because most things I'm interested in are lady exclusives.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of pictures of guys with leather jackets and shorts.
See?
But it was a guaranteed way to score. Okay? We lived, I know this may be hard to comprehend here, but we lived in a world at one time. Okay, you are, if you're young right now, you descended from somebody who lived in a world at one time. You could wear, as a man, a leather jacket with no shirt on underneath it, and it would up your chances.
You know why? Great conversation starter.
No, because it was hot. It was not a conversation. The conversation was this.
Of course it was.
No, the conversation was this, Mocha. As somebody who's worn a leather jacket with no shirt underneath, the conversation of a leather jacket with no shirt on never happened. It was understood that you were a 100% unbridled sex machine. And then the only conversations that happened after that were of a flirtatious nature.
Sure.
But why aren't you wearing a shirt was
your
never that conversation.
Or mine, or right here, right now.
Right. My parents don't get home until 6:15. Right. It was more like that. Did your older brother have the car tonight still? Yeah, okay. What about tomorrow? You gotta walk the dog? Okay, what time do you walk the dog? Oh, babysit. Okay, yeah, I got you.
You send me the address.
Okay, so I'm gonna be wearing a leather jacket and no shirt for what, 5 days now?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm reading this story about how half of Americans say that they're afraid to go to the dentist.
What?
And the fear starts over the age of 15. So it's not a fear that that develops when you're a little kid.
Mm.
And you remember when, God, it was a few years ago where I hadn't been to the dentist in like 12 years. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And then I finally went to the dentist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the thing about the dentist more than anything else is if you lie, you will get busted. If you go to the doctor and they're like, how much you drink? You're like, oh, I don't know. Like I have like maybe
once
maybe,
a month,
maybe one a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless you're like a super heavy drinker and they can test your liver enzymes, everything else. Sure. They're not going to bust you on that. But the dentist is the one place where you can't lie. And you will get busted immediately if you do. Because if you go to the dentist and they go, you been flossing? You go, of course I floss. I floss every day. They're going to look in your mouth and go, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Because they will know immediately.
That's like, why I don't lie. I don't lie at all. At all. And I'm going to the dentist?
Yeah.
Do not lie. I will say, like, I brushed my teeth before, right before I walked in here.
Yeah.
But legit 30 minutes ago, I ate an apple.
Right. But you do. So this is the thing is that you don't neglect your teeth.
So you're going to find gunk in between.
Right. There's no excuse for somebody who doesn't brush their teeth. Right. Like there is just like we can all agree on that. There's no excuse for somebody not brush their teeth. But then when you get the call that you got to go to the dentist, what do people wind up doing? Three times that one day before they go to the dentist.
They try flossing.
They try flossing for the first time.
They show up sensitive gums like bloody as hell.
Right? And so they know. So that is why people, I don't think people are afraid of the pain associated with the dentist. Yeah. It's the shame associated with the dentist.
Do you have rules at your dentist? Like, do they know your rules? Like, there is no fluoride. They are not to give you the needle. They don't do the sandblasting.
No.
Sandblasting?
Yeah, no, I have rules. No sandblasting.
What is sandblasting? What does that do?
There's some sort of utensil that my dentist uses that literally sandblasts your teeth.
Really?
Yeah. And
to do what though?
They put like the sort of, I guess, a cloth over your face where it's cut out just on the mouth and the eyes and the nose, and then they blast your mouth with sand.
It sounds like you're being waterboarded. Is he trying to get your information? Yeah, like does he want the launch codes? Like, what is he asking you while this is going on?
Which is why I said no sandblasting.
Wow, give me the name of the person who sent you here.
Like, what else do you know?
Jeez. So no sandblasting.
Also, if I have to wait longer than 5 minutes in the waiting room, for every right. additional 5 minutes is another toothbrush.
Right, because you're special. We get that. Okay, yeah. And what else is on
no
your
nose? No fluoride.
Why not?
I can't stand the taste.
Okay.
I can't, and if I have to do fluoride, I'll set the time for how long we're doing the fluoride floor.
God, you're a nightmare of a patient, man. I would.
They once had to, well, they had to give
a
me
person,
a,
really.
What a nightmare of a person. You're like, right.
You have rules for a legit every single thing.
Yeah.
Everything.
The last time they had to put a filling in, they had to give me a needle, but I was so scared of the needle, they had to call Matthew and put him on speakerphone just to talk me through it.
Wow. Here's what I would say is I would take half the made up bogus rules that you have for your dentist and at least rework a few of them and apply them to whoever cuts your hair.
hold on. Guys, stop. Can we just pause for a sec? Hold on.
This is 911. Do you have an emergency?
Damn it, Maury got burned real bad once again.
All right, help is on the way.
Well, at least I got a haircut.
Oh, 911, bring the grin.
I was kidding, man. Your hair looks lovely, Maury. Your hair looks lovely.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Big anniversary today.
Ooh, for you?
It's a sad anniversary today.
Oh.
Yep.
What?
Someone die?
I would say even more.
Worse than death?
Yeah, I would say worse than death, Maury.
What's worse than death?
Of people. 32 years ago today is the day that Wham announced they were breaking up.
Oh, no!
But
to some people was worse than death.
But it gave us solo George Michael.
It did. I will give you that.
Whatever happened to the other guy?
Yeah, whatever happened.
Andrew Wrigley.
Is that what his
Andrew
name?
Andrew Wrigley.
Andrew
with an R. Wrigley.
Please tell me you're mistaken and it actually was Wiggly.
Wiggles?
It wasn't.
It's Wrigley.
It's Wrigley?
Yeah.
Damn it.
He left music. I mean, the last time people heard from him was when George Michael passed away, but before that, nobody ever heard from the guy.
Really, though?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't go off and just, like, sort of do his own thing?
No, but George Michael was the brains behind Wham.
Well, then what was Andrew Wrigley?
Do you remember this one, Careless Whisper?
Really? Out of all the Wham songs, this is what you went with, huh? Interesting.
Why wouldn't you go with Don't Wake Me Up Before You Go?
Because it's obvious.
Yeah. Interesting that you went with this one. Yeah, I don't hate this. No singing, please, Maury. We're going to enjoy this. What's the guy's name? Andrew Wiggly?
Andrew Wiggle? He's the blue one, right?
What is it? Andrew Wiggle? Is he the blue wiggle or the yellow wiggle? No, M is the yellow wiggle. Andrew, I just wrote Andrew Wiggly, for God's sakes. What's his name? Wrigley? So stupid. God, this song, though, huh? God, he looks so different now. He's bald.
Something in your eyes calls to mind a silver screen.
Can I sing this part, please?
I'm never gonna dance again. The guilty things that I got with you.
Listen. Dude. But if we're going to pay tribute to Wham, like, know the words.
Okay, try
again. Paying tribute in my own way.
No. There is no such thing as that.
Guilty feet have got no rhythm. Now it's easy to pretend. Although you're not a fool.
You and Maury. Okay, pause for 1 second. You and Maury duetting as George Michael and Andrew Wiggles is like.
I'm George Michael, by the way, called it.
Yeah. Fine, I'll be Wiggles.
Okay, hold on. Do you have the lyrics in front of you, Mocha?
I don't know. I can get them.
Yeah, get the lyrics.
Okay.
Okay.
And what?
And I'll just go off the fact that I know the words.
And you're just going to go off more the fact that you know.
Okay.
That you know the words, and you guys are going to duet "Careless Whisper."
I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. Though it's easy to pretend, I know you're not a fool. I should have known better than to take your friends and waste the chance that I've been given. The way I was your fool.
Did you say I should have known better than to take your friends? Was that one of the lines?
Yeah. Should have known better than to take your friends. Guilty pleasures got no rhythm.
Anyway, there you go. 32 years ago, very sad day in music, Wham announced that they are breaking up.
Hey,
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, Kiss 92.5. It's Roz and Mocha.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to say that I love Maury and have a reason why.
That you love Maury and have a reason why. Okay.
Yes. So I used to feel ordinary, but now I feel extraordinary. Because every time I hear him on the radio, he makes me feel a lot more less ordinary.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
I don't know. How would you take... come here, Maury. How are you taking this right now?
As a compliment?
Are you taking this as a comp? How do you see this?
The moment,
this
I'm statement. Just trying to process it.
Okay. Like, you're trying to understand if he just insulted you or not.
Right. So I don't want to answer until I fully understand this myself.
Right. You don't want to say thank you.
Right. What if a thank you is not warranted?
Right. Or what if it's embarrassing to say thank you if there's something
right.
like this?
Right. So once I understand something, then I can...
Okay. What are you not understanding about this?
So he said...
Yes.
If I may...
Please.
That when I'm ordinary, but when I hear Maury, I'm less ordinary, meaning Maury makes me less of
a
person.
No, that's not what he said at all. Okay. What he said was, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay? What you said was that he feels ordinary, but when he hears you, he feels extraordinary.
Oh, but I heard the word less ordinary in there somewhere.
I think you're just adding words into the conversation.
Yeah.
So he feels extraordinary.
Right.
Extraordinary.
Yes.
See, that warrants a thank you.
Have an extraordinary day, sir.
Thank you so much, guys.
You got it.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I was trying to watch the hockey game last night, but my amateur girlfriend ruined it again.
What happened?
Well, because, you know, okay, so me with the Olympics, right? You know, I tried to get into the Olympics,
yeah.
And then she would come in and... I'd be watching Luge, and she'd be like, oh, my God, that guy's, like, nuts. You're, like, sticking right out of his suit. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, don't ruin this. Or somebody would be, like, snowboarding, and they would be doing these incredible tricks. And then she would just look at the screen and go, yeah, but this is just what they do every day, these guys. And I'm like, but it's the Olympics. And so last night, it's a big game, right? It's, like, Toronto and Tampa Bay. And I turned the game on. I got my dinner all laid out because I like to have a television sort of activity when I eat.
Right.
I like to have something, an event when I eat. I like something going on. I can't just grab food. I need it to be, like, a thing, right?
Well, and just out of curiosity, what was on the menu?
I had leftovers. I had all leftovers from the weekend, so I had a ton of barbecue. I had a couple wings, a little bit of steak, a little bit of rib, and a fondant potato that I had made.
Oh, hold on.
Which is delicious. Thank you.
Bravo. Bravo.
Okay. No veg, by the way, okay?
Yeah. Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. No veg.
Even better. All right. Veg all right. for losers.
Yeah, losers. Okay. So I'm about, like, 3 minutes in to the hockey game when Catherine realizes that they're... are two players, one named Johnson and one named Hyman, playing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I know where this is going. But
right?
Continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just fixated on that.
Yeah, she's fixated on that. And then she starts doing commentary, right? Like, Johnson slid into Hyman. Johnson nailed Hyman. The whole game, right?
Yeah.
Like, all throughout my dinner, she's just making Johnson Hyman jokes.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Right? I'm telling you. And then so at one point, I have a chicken wing in my hand, and she's made about her fifth Johnson Hyman joke.
Yeah.
I put my chicken wing down, and I just look at her and I go, would you like to watch The Crown? So we watched The Crown. Because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it. She's the most immature person I've ever met in my life.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So my big night turned into me eating sad, cold chicken wings while watching The Crown.
But still, no veg.
Still no veg.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Last week, KFC in the UK were having delivery problems of the chickens not getting to their destination to the restaurants in time because they switched delivery companies. They started using DHL.
The global headline was chicken shortage, I believe.
Yeah. And it forced KFC to shut down more than half of their 900 locations.
That's crazy.
Now, things have been getting a little bit better as chickens have been rolling into the restaurant. However, some restaurants are operating on a very minimal menu options.
Yeah.
So you might not be able to get everything. You might be able to get two or three things.
Like, you can get a leg, but maybe not the big crunch.
Right.
Right.
And some stores are even shortening the hours that they're open because of the chicken shortage, and they're still trying to get things figured out with the delivery company.
And I had said this, that in the UK, people love, I've never seen people love KFC like when I was in London. They line up for breakfast before it's open.
Yeah, it's insane the amount of people that line up. And then yesterday, KFC in the UK had to deal with another PR nightmare.
No.
When somebody found 200 pounds of packaged KFC chicken in plastic bins on the side of the road.
No.
They had the, quote, used by date on the side of the containers of February 22nd, which was last week.
Right.
So the chicken was no good anyway.
Right.
But the company, whoever the driver was for that company, decided just to dump the chicken on the side of the road. But even still, with all of that, now that some of the stores in the UK are opening up again, the lineups for KFC are ridiculous.
They're crazy. They are so crazy for KFC there.
Hello, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. I know you guys were talking about people that line up for KFC. Back home in Trinidad, people actually line up like early in the morning to bring KFC back here. And I actually know people who have brought suitcases full of KFC back just because it's so different back home, apparently.
Wait. Hold on. So, who's this on the phone? Is this Sabrina?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah. Sabrina, you've been listening to the Roz and Mocha Show for a long time, and I know you're Trini.
Yeah,
so,
I am.
Wait. So KFC in Trinidad tastes different from KFC in Canada?
Apparently, it tastes nothing like it does here.
What does it taste like, though, in Trinidad?
I'm vegetarian, so I don't know, but I have family that brings, like, suitcases back full of it.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
But how do you cover, like, you're not allowed to bring food back into the country. How do they, like, conceal that smell? Because it's a very distinct smell.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but they, like, I know family members who have brought, like, an entire suitcase. Not, like, a carry-on, like, an entire suitcase full of KFC back for their family here.
Like, just in Ziplocs or something? Yeah. Like, how do they do that?
I don't know how they pack it. Like, I don't know how they pack
because
it. But apparently, one of my uncles has a sister here who like can't live without KFC. But it just doesn't taste the same here. So every time they're coming, they bring like food back there. And if their flight is early in the morning, like they will even get it the night before.
Wait, but hold on a second. How long is the flight from Trinidad back home here?
It's about 5.5 hours.
Okay, so you're traveling with KFC that you had purchased. Add in the time that it takes to get to the airport. Add in the time it takes for you to go through security, baggage check, all that stuff. Add in the time that it takes that you're sitting on the plane before it actually takes off. Add in the 5+ hours it takes to fly back home. Add in the time that you have to go through security, baggage, all that stuff until you actually get home. That's a long time for KFC to not be in the fridge.
Yeah, your minimum 10 hours at that point.
How good it is by the time it gets here, but apparently there's nothing wrong with it. It's still good to eat because Trini people think unless there's mold on something or it's like soggy, it's still good to eat.
That's not a good way to live. That's not smart. That's not a smart way to live.
It's weird.
Wow. Yeah, I can't see how much different it could be that I would eat 10-hour chicken sitting in somebody's luggage. Like there's no possible way that Trini KFC could be that much better than Toronto KFC. Like
it's worth that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, you're a chicken mule at that point.
Right? I'd rather be busted for drugs.
Right. So would I. You're right. If I'm going to wind up on the news smuggling something back from Trinidad, you know, it's not going to be KFC.
Yeah, I'd rather it be weed. Thanks, Sabrina.
You're welcome.
Bye. Later. Hello, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, guys. This is Brittany from Rexdale. I just wanted to let you know Jamaica KFC is the number one KFC
in
the world.
What makes Jamaican KFC number one, in your opinion, or different?
Well, their seasoning is different. The way how they cook is different. And they have multiple flavors, such as barbecue chicken, the regular fried chicken. They have some other flavors. It comes with... You can get a side of dumpling, you can get a side it's lit.
Let me tell you, in a city like Toronto where it's so multicultural, right?
Yeah.
I think the Jamaican way of doing KFC would 100% work in this city.
Of course.
Like, wouldn't they experiment with that? Like, I would love to go to KFC and get barbecue style KFC chicken with a side of dumplings.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's heaven. It's lit.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm reading an article right here from a website called Mary Jane. And the headline is, why does Jamaica have the best KFC in the world?
Wow, Brittany, on point.
It's awesome. I love you guys. I listen to you guys every morning. I just want to shout out my best friends, Dominique and Tamika. Have a good day. And I'm expecting a child in June, so please bless my baby, guys.
Hey, yeah, congratulations, Brittany. Big up Rexdale.
Thank you. Big up Rexdale. Later, guys.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi, this is Shannon. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Shannon?
I just wanted to ask you guys if you guys could shout out a special happy birthday to all the leapers out there. So I don't know if you guys know what leapers are.
Leapers? Is that like a furry?
No. It's a birthday people who celebrate birthdays on February 29th. So we don't actually have a birthday every 4 years.
Oh, leap year babies.
You know, have a cousin in England where his birthday is on the Feb 29th, and he's celebrating today.
Yeah? Would you celebrate it on Feb 28th, or would you celebrate it on March 1st?
See, that's the conflict. I like March 1st because I would have never been born on the February 28th.
Right.
But it's like an ongoing discussion, and it's very hard to actually sit there and have everybody say, happy birthday, and you have
to be
like,
because
okay,
Feb 28th, you're not here yet, and March 1st, you're already here.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, like, so technically people say happy birthday to me today, but I'm actually turning 30 this year, so I really won't turn 30 until tomorrow.
Right.
So it's a very confusing time.
Correct. But I will say this about leap year babies, right? It's a real cool thing, but it's not all that special.
What?
Why would you say that? Because leap year babies are so caught up on the, I don't have my day. I get that. But when you're not a leap year baby, right, when you're just a regular baby that has a regular birthday, you celebrate your birthday all over the place.
That is true.
Yeah. And then in the middle of the week, you're like, oh, it's my birthday weekend.
So if your birthday's on a Wednesday, guess what? Your birthday becomes Friday. Okay. Welcome to it's the real world. Everybody does this, but for some reason, leap year babies feel that they're so special that this is only their problem. It's not just your problem.
No, I know.
Hey, Shannon, I'm sorry you're not special.
I'm sorry.
So how old are you turning? 30?
Yeah.
Wow.
37 and a half.
How does that feel to be 30?
I'm not registering it yet, I guess.
No. Have you done with your life?
I've actually done pretty well. Yeah. So I don't feel terrible, but it's you're losing your 20s, right? So it's like that threshold.
Have you done all the things that you need to do to set yourself up for 30, do you feel?
Yeah, I'm almost there, I think.
Yeah? What's left to do?
Just to purchase my first home.
Yeah. Oh,
nice. Well, happy birthday, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Always, always, always listen.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Leafs got Plekanec over the weekend.
From Montreal.
A lot of people very upset that they were doing business with Montreal.
just on
principle alone.
Sure. How dare you?
And also because the guy wears a turtleneck when he plays, and a lot of people aren't cool with that.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he wears a turtleneck under his uniform.
Isn't that like 80s style?
Yeah, it's weird. I know, it's super weird. Turtlenecks in general are weird.
Don't you get hot, though?
What's that, Mar?
Where on earth? Because I used to wear turtlenecks, and I do anything to wear it again. Like, I don't even know where to buy a turtleneck.
Would you wear a turtleneck just under a shirt or just a... like? Because I remember when I was a kid, like, I still would see pictures of me wearing, like, just a turtleneck. And turtlenecks were tight back in the day, right? They were tight and they were thin.
Yeah.
Like,
so tight.
Right? They were so tight, and the fabric was so thin, but your mom always made you wear a turtleneck.
I would wear a turtleneck with an opened knitted sweater.
Oh,
sorry,
wow.
What?
So you would look like, which one was it, Bert or Ernie?
Wait, what?
I would wear the turtleneck, but then I would have kind of like a buttoned up.
Like a cardigan.
A cardigan, but open.
Open knitted sweater. Cardigan. For God's sake. Like, we haven't moved past cardigan. We understand it.
Yes.
They never changed the name once of cardigan.
Okay, so you're having a hard time finding a turtleneck? Is that what you're saying?
No one sells these things anymore.
What about...
like, full turtleneck, not the one where it just goes to
like
your shoulders.
Like a dickie. Yeah. I imagine a turtleneck, you would have to go to maybe a place like Mark's Work Warehouse or something like that.
Oh,
where it's guys...
For sure, Mark's
that are,
would
that
sell
are,
it.
That are working outside.
Yeah,
you'd probably be able to get a turtleneck.
I love turtlenecks.
Really?
It elongated my neck.
neck.
Yeah, I had a picture of me. I still remember this, and I don't even know whatever happened to it. I had a picture of me when I was a little kid wearing a turtleneck that was tucked into my underpants.
Stop it.
Yeah. Because when you're a little kid, right, you used to tuck your shirt into your undies. Yeah. Know, you may not remember, but you did.
I don't know.
Well, you didn't. Yeah. I guess your parents tucked your stuff
no,
in?
No, because when you would go pee, like when you're an adult, when you're a grown man, yeah, normally when you go pee, your pants don't go down to your ankles, right? Yeah. But when you're a kid and you go pee, your pants go down to your ankles, and then everything comes up and everything just gets tucked in, right?
You don't know if I ever
nobody's messing around with the layering.
Oh, so it just happens to be tucked with the pull.
Yes, everything that gets everything that is on gets pulled up, and the undies go above everything else.
So I think I wore. I'm like 99% sure I wore turtlenecks when I was a kid, but not to school. Like not out in regular life.
Oh, no?
I would wear them. Like when my dad would drop me off at to go ice skating.
Really?
Yeah, at Ted Reeve Arena outside.
Wow. See, I remember turtlenecks.
So it was just to keep warm.
Because turtlenecks were one of the first time where I really noticed my male teacher's nipples. And I remember the feeling of just being uncomfortable with the turtleneck.
I don't know.
Like it was weird. Like a turtleneck made me as uncomfortable as like a low cut top on a woman did when I was a kid.
I just didn't
know what to. I didn't know how to process that information of what I was seeing.
That's why you need the opened up knitted sweater to hide your nipples.
It's called a cardigan, goddammit.
Hi. You can find them at more places than Mark's Work Warehouse. Zara sells them. Uniqlo, Topman.
What? These are all places that everybody loves.
Yeah, it's actually like really trendy. So
what,
I feel like I should reconsider.
Okay,
yeah.
Hold on. You, I don't mean to judge here, but you sound like a man that knows his fashion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you own turtlenecks? If so, how many do you have in the rotation?
I wore three last week.
Holy cow!
Why in my head right now did I just picture three all at once?
No. I mean, you can wear I wore them with like camo pants and like a black turtleneck.
Hold on here. Men's turtlenecks. I'm Googling these right now.
Yeah, like Zara has them.
Really?
Yeah, H&M.
Oh, look at this. Now, I see a lot of turtleneck sweaters, right? But a turtleneck, but we're talking like it was, like turtlenecks used to be so thin, it was almost t-shirt material. Like it was one, it was like one ply above.
Pantyhose?
Pantyhose.
I guess they are pretty thin. They're more like fall.
Right.
Fall wet. I mean, but it is, I think you guys are talking about putting them under a sweater. You could still do that.
Like I have a knitted sort of turtleneck, but the turtleneck is you make it yourself with clasps.
Right. No, we want like old school.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
just like super toit.
Yeah, and if you wear it under a blazer, you automatically look like you belong to a club.
Oh.
You know, like you want that look. Like a Bond villain.
Yeah.
What's your name on the phone, sir?
Rajesh.
Rajesh, thank you so much for calling into the Roz and Mocha Show.
No worries. Thanks so much, guys.
Right on, Holmes.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So you were talking man stuff yesterday.
Man stuff!
You were on City Line with Tracy Moore, and they do, what is it, a man panel?
Yeah, it was the first time they did the man panel.
And
quite the honor. Thank you, City Line.
And you were supposed to what? Like go on and represent men?
Me and like three other dudes. Just talk about our experience
of being a man?
Because Chatelaine did a survey, and it was all based on the answers from a survey that Chatelaine had done. And it was like what it means to be a man in 2018.
Right.
In the world we live in right now, based on what it was like, you know, 5 years ago or when you were a kid or what your view of being a man
It's tough.
Was back in the day compared to right now.
In 2018, it's tough to even say being a man is cool because the only thing that the world wants you to do, the perfect man is to just become more like a woman. That's basically the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just it. It's, you know, guys are broken girls and they just need to be fixed. Which I highly disagree with, but that seems to be the world we're living in. But I'm really curious as to what you had to say about this, because I have three clips here. I have who influenced you.
Yeah.
I have you talking about what your world would be like if you were single again. God, might be a mess. And then you talking about sex ed. So let's start with who influenced you.
Aha! Who do you think, before I play this? You knowing me for as long as you have.
It's either going to be one of two answers as far as who influenced you on how to be a great man. Okay. I'm only giving two answers here.
Okay.
It's two possibilities.
The Rock?
No.
Oh.
Your dad?
Uh-huh.
Or Biggie? Right?
Good
one. Okay, it's either
who
Vern or Biggie.
Influenced your idea of what it was to be a man?
Say Biggie.
How about you, Mocha?
I would say, like, my father, even still to this day, it's like ingrained in my mind because my dad was like the hardest worker I'd ever met my entire life. Like, there were times where, just to support our family, he was working like three jobs. Mm-hmm. So he would like go to work in the morning and I'd see him for like maybe 30, 40 minutes in the afternoon, then he'd go and work two other jobs. So for me, that's where my, I guess, influence of what it meant to support your family. And it was literally doing whatever you could to make sure that there was food on the table and everyone had clothes to wear, really.
I should have said Biggie.
Which is, poor Vern. What jobs did Gerald Mann have in the night? What was he doing?
My
he worked
dad,
a lot.
He did. So he was, he's still accounting now, but he used to work when Guarantee Trust used to be around.
Yeah.
So he'd do that during the day. And then after school, he would, he was a driver's ed.
Driver's ed teacher.
Teacher. So Jesus. he would take the car, the Corsica, and drive around to like different high schools and stuff.
Really?
For the appointments. I remember there was one time I had to, for some reason, I couldn't go home.
Yeah.
So I had to go with my dad on these stupid driving tests, yeah, or driving classes with these high school kids. I was sitting in the back. It was so boring.
And that's just to spend time with your old man, right?
I imagine. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
For
that's
him,
what
maybe?
I guarantee you that's what it was for
you. And
your
then
dad.
He also was a parking attendant overnight.
Oh my God.
From like, I don't know, like 11
yeah,
or 10 p.m. until some weird hour in the morning, yeah, middle of the night, I was still sleeping.
I hope I love my kid as much as that. You know what I mean? Like, I love Roxy, but I don't know if I love Roxy enough to be a parking attendant overnight.
He had to, though. He had to.
I hear you. Okay, let's go on to your life. What would it be like if Jenna was not in your life?
Mocha 30% of men in relationships fantasize about being single again.
30%. I just thinking about it now, I'd be so lost.
Aww.
I would be like completely lost. And I think about my life when I was single, and man, I love my life right now,
yeah,
like 1,000 times more than when I was single.
Right.
You know, I have a beautiful wife.
Yeah.
You know, we have a 10-month-old at home, and yes, it's like life is beyond perfect. Yeah.
See. And that's at that point where you're in a room full of women who all fall in love with you, where you're like, man, I wish I was single right now. So I want to hear, this is you when they ask you about where did you learn about sex ed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mocha, how did you learn? How did you get your sex education?
Recess with my friends.
Recess, for
just
sure.
Talking about it.
Yes.
It was like literally just all of that, like,
yeah,
zero conversation whatsoever,
yeah,
in our house. Like, we can't even swear, even as an adult, I can't swear in my house.
I don't swear in my house either. Hey, I'm 43 years old. Flip
out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like with friends, and you said scary place, internet, but
yeah,
internet as well.
Okay, what does that mean?
So
you learned during recess. Like, you just talk with your friends
it's the stories that are passed down. A lot of kids have older brothers, older sisters, whatever,
yeah,
and then they get the stories.
Oh, so it's not like teaching each other how to hold a girl's hand.
Never forget my first Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
One kid had the magazine, took it from his older brother.
Yes.
And it went around, the word got around class, okay, we're all meeting at the baseball diamond near Crescent Town,
yeah,
which is near Danforth and Pharmacy area.
Yeah.
We're all going to meet there. So tell your parents, we're all going to go play baseball. Bring your bat, bring your gloves, yeah, whatever.
Make it look good,
right?
Sell it.
And then everyone rode their bikes straight, yeah, up to Crescent Town,
yeah,
and went to the baseball field there, and we all gathered around. Oh, I remember why. Because one person said that they thought that the sixth grade teacher was in Playboy. That's why. That's the other reason why. That was the first time I'd ever seen Playboy magazine.
And you guys need evidence.
Yeah.
So it was really less perverted, more investigative, right?
Sure, yeah.
Right.
Because you want to see if the sixth grade teacher was really in that magazine.
Right. You
but also, what else was in that magazine?
But you weren't perverts. You were detectives at that point.
Yeah.
Yes.
The perviness came afterwards.
Correct.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So it is Fairy Tale Day today.
It is.
This day, they say, is all about exploring myths and stories, both old and new. And for the last few years now for Fairy Tale Day, Maury has penned his own fairy tale. Some have been incredible hits. Some have been colossal misses. And I asked Maury today, I'm like, hey, what's this? Just give me the setup. Like, I don't need to know what it's about, but just give me the sort of summary of what you'll be doing for Fairy Tale Day, the story you wrote. And Maury's answer was this. It's the origin of something we all do today.
Which, what?
I don't know if you could be more vague, but Maury, if you would, are you ready? I don't know. Do you have fairy tale music that you want to play? I don't know how you want to get into this here. Oh, there we go. Is that okay for you, Maury?
Sounds great.
Okay, Maury, the floor is yours, please, as we celebrate Fairy Tale Day.
Once upon a time.
Wait, does your story have a title?
Yeah, do you want that?
Well, yeah.
Okay. A land where lies are okay.
I'm glad I asked.
Okay.
Once upon a time.
Once.
Back when the only things to do were milk cows, churn butter, and talk to one another. But times, they were a-changin'. Not everything we said to our village folk was the truth. But this, not truth-telling, was a new fad. In a small town called St. Marie among the Hurons was a short fella named Samuel, who wasn't very good not telling the truth and was always caught fibbing. While all the other villagers were mastering the art of not telling the truth, but what is he to do? How can he learn to better himself at this new art?
Art, the art.
One cold night he made himself a fire, a cup of hot cocoa, and decided to practice in front of the mirror. He said to himself, "If I can make myself believe it, then it must be true. I didn't take your cow's milk. This is the milk from my own cow," he said in the mirror. Frustrated under his breath, he said, "If only I was better at this. If only I could not tell the truth believably." The room became cold. The smoke from the freshly lit fire turned into a small yet large poof of smoke that floated towards him.
Poof.
Suddenly, this little poof was of smoke was resting itself onto Samuel's shoulder and suddenly turned into a little magical man. "Hi there, I'm Lionel. It looks as though you called me for help to lie better. How is a little smoke man going to help me lie better?" Samuel asked. "Why don't you just listen to what I have to say and try it? It's not like you have many options." After a brief lesson together, where Lionel told him to be more confident when telling a lie and always look the person you're lying to in the eye, Samuel felt confident to head back out into the rest of the world and give it a try. But first, Lionel nibbled on Samuel's ear and said, "Anytime you're about to tell a lie, remember the feeling of this little nibble, and it will help you recall what I taught you." Before he even got to Lucius's pub, where he immediately was stopped by Mrs. Quackenbush about the theft of her cow and cow's milk again. Of course, Samuel stole the milk, but not his chance to make it right. "Miss Quackenbush, there's no way I stole your cow's milk. I only drank almond milk or soy." Naturally, the case was closed, and Samuel felt confident to lie another day. Till this day, the tale of Samuel and the feeling of nibbled ears helps people not tell the truth day in and day out. Lionel still visits the unconfident around the world.
Okay. Wow.
There's a lot going on in that story, bro.
Yeah, so it's basically the story of Poof the Lying Fairy. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Is there like a moral to the story?
So what's the moral of the story?
Oh, it's a lesson on how to lie.
Oh, great lesson. Great lesson. Yes. Yes. Oh, fantastic lesson for kids. Poof the Lying Fairy.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mel B was on a show called The Real. I've never seen the show before. All I know is it's very loud.
Yeah.
It's a very loud
show. Like the UK version of The Voice?
No, it's not UK.
No, it's like The View.
Yeah, it's
sorry,
like
that's what I meant.
Yeah,
to do.
It's like a.
What's it called? The Real.
It's called The Real.
Like real, as in that is real, or
as in girl, this is real. What we talk about is real.
Wait, how do I not know this show?
I think it's
a UK thing. I don't know who runs it. No, they're all American on the show.
Oh, it's an American show.
It's an American show. I don't know who runs this. Anybody ever heard of the show The Real? Anyway, so this is Mel B, where they start getting into, is there going to be a Spice Girl reunion officially from the mouth of Mel B?
I mean, it's been 7 years.
Oh, so you guys haven't seen each other for 7 years.
Well, we've seen each other separately, but not all five together.
God.
So it was really, really nice.
So it was just like a get together, you know?
Well, no, we had Spice Girls manager there too, Simon Fuller.
So that means that there's going to be a possible tour?
Something.
Well, we signed back with Simon Fuller, so...
So it's possible.
This thing, Yes, it's possible. Okay.
But the big story is the follow-up question that they ask, which is Mel B admitted that she did get an invite to the royal wedding with Harry and Meghan.
Oh.
So she is going. Then they ask her, and we'll play this for you, if the Spice Girls are going to be playing the reception. And although she, listening to it, it's very difficult. So I'll describe what happens. Although she doesn't say yes or no, what Mel B does when she's asked that question is immediately puts her face into her hands and puts her head down and then throws her papers up in the air as some sort of admission. Although she doesn't say the words yes. So listen to this.
Well, I do have a serious question, though. And maybe you can answer, maybe not. Will the Spice Girls be performing at the reception?
Oh, I swear I'm just...
Yes, they are performing! Yes!
I need to go. I'm going to be fired.
All right.
Now, I think it's worth mentioning the wedding is going to be televised, so we'll all get to see that.
No, the reception won't be televised.
So we won't get to see this.
No, the wedding is televised. The reception, I don't think, will be televised. Oh, we're not going to get to see the family speeches on TV. Yeah. That's private.
That's what I want to see.
Like, you want to see Prince Charles give
I want to see the clanging of the cup. The clanging of the cup when they kiss.
You want to see show that?
Like what, Megan's like drunk American uncle who's always, there's always one guy at a wedding who wants up on the dance floor with his tie tied around his head, like he's Rambo.
Look at me!
Right? There's always that guy, right? We're not going to get to see that.
That's what everyone wants.
Playing hot, drunk Uncle Ken is like, look at me, I'm doing the calypso.
Yeah, no.
Oh man.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The story goes that there may be possibly somebody working on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot. Oh, but there's a twist. What would be the most 2018 twist on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot?
The most?
What is the most 2018 thing that there would be on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot?
If the kid was a black gay teenager.
No, I would say that would be the most 2016.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
What would be the most 2018 according to TMZ?
Oh, a single parent.
No.
Is that oh, no, that's more 80s.
What they're working on, what the rumor is that it will be the Fresh Princess of Bel-Air.
Oh, stop it. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Let me guess, straight to Netflix.
No, I don't know. Rumors of a female-centric reboot started popping up, reports TMZ, when the company that owns the Fresh Prince filed new trademark applications for the Fresh Princess of Bel-Air. Yeah, on television and other media platforms. In addition to using the moniker on an array of merchandising, such as bags, clothes, footwear, backpacks, and everything else. So, when somebody starts putting in all of these trademark applications, it's a sense of sort of future business dealings where they're sort of locking up their brand before an announcement is made.
Right. I don't know. Is Will Smith going to be involved? He has to be, right? Is he going to be the new Uncle Phil?
There's no word yet on whether Will Smith will be involved at all.
It better not be like Will Smith, like his kid, like Willow.
Well, that's what everybody is saying. Is that?
Oh, really?
Not necessarily Willow, but people are saying that the princess in the show may wind up being Will's character's daughter from the show. Like she would have grown up.
Like maybe Will the character move them back to Philly or wherever.
Yeah.
And then she then has to go and live with somebody's
her auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
Right. But we already know, but then will the character have brothers or sisters?
No.
So there would be no auntie and uncle in Bel Air. See, to me, what makes sense is that Will would be the auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
Yeah.
And that some other kid would come and live with Will.
Didn't Will end up marrying?
Oh, I don't know the canon.
Nia Long?
I don't know that.
So maybe like her sibling's kid would go and live with them?
Yeah.
But like, are they living in the same house maybe?
I can't see how you can get enough money together to pay Will Smith to do a sitcom reboot of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I can't see how you could afford that. There's no way.
I think
he's still doing $20 million movies.
I think he would do it though. I think he would do it, and I think it would be a Netflix show.
I mean, the guy spends enough time on social media. It seems like he's got a lot going on lately. All he seems doing is videos.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
So you're going to have a pretty banging opening theme song for Fresh Princess to top this, because you can't top this.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys that were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. I said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air.
I was support captain. I know, you love this.
Oh, dude, it's one of my favorite theme songs ever.
Okay, would you watch A Fresh Princess of Bel-Air if Will Smith was in it?
I would.
Would you watch A Fresh Princess of Bel-Air if Will Smith was not in it?
I would not.
Okay.
Smell you later.
I think either way, no matter how you go with it, it could be the Fresh Prince twins of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
But I think Will Smith's got to be in it.
Has to be.
What do you guys think about Carlton's kid going to live with Will or Will's kid going to live with Carlton?
Oh, that's right. Maybe it was Carlton is the uncle.
Right, to go have his kid who's become maybe the troublemaker now, because Carlton was always the good guy, and now she has to go live with Will, and Will has to sort it out.
No, I would say that it would be Will's kid, because the way you have to do a show without paying Will Smith $40 million, right?
That's
so
true.
So Will Smith might show up, let's say, in episode 1, and then maybe in episode like 8.
But they have
that would be like season 1.
But the hard thing, I'll tell you what, the difficult thing about making it Will Smith's kid, like let's say Willow Smith,
sure,
right, is cast in this, and she's legitimately supposed to be the daughter of Will in the show, Will the character. The problem is that you have to write in a conceivable reason why Will Smith's kid would no longer be living with him.
Yeah.
That's true.
And what would that reason be?
That I'm not
we all
really
accepted.
Sure.
We all accepted when Fresh Prince started that the mom was just going to ship this troublemaker off.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody ever looked at that situation and said, "Damn it, woman, parent this boy."
And
figure it out.
From what I remember with the way the show ended,
yeah,
right? Like the family helped Will become the man that he became,
yes,
which is a nice guy, a good guy, a guy that would look after his family.
100%.
So you would think that he would raise his kids based on his life experience in the same way.
The mom made the ultimate sacrifice. She gave away her child to rich people so they could turn him into something good that she could not, which when you boil a show down to that, it's really terrible. So why at this point, after they raised such a great man in Will the character, would he then abandon his own daughter? Like, what's the mechanism there? How does that happen? They certainly can't kill him.
No, definitely not. So what would they do? Would they then take Carlton's like nerdy, uptight kid and put him in a situation, or her in a situation, where she moves from... Well, like, why would you move from Bel Air to Philly?
No, you wouldn't.
Right?
Like, it would have to be Carlton is going to be would have to be the central father figure in this show, because it's not going to be Will Smith, because I don't think you're going to be able to pay him enough money. So it would have to be Carlton as the central father figure of this show, and therefore, what makes sense is that it would be Will's daughter that then goes to live with Carlton. But how you get from that point, I don't know, because in 2018, the idea of giving up your child to go and live with somebody else, because I don't know what the reason.
reasons would be, but presumably Will still lives in Bel Air. Like, how bad could it be
that he had to leave Bel Air and go back to Philly?
Right? Like, right? I don't get it. Unless, like what you say, unless it's reverse, which she is the Fresh Princess of Bel Air and then suddenly has to go and live with people who have less. Where it's a fish out of water the other way.
Yeah.
It's not the street kid going to live with the hoity-toity.
It's the hoity-toity
going to live with 227.
Right.
Right?
Yo, 227. I love that show back in the day.
Right? Yeah. Maybe, right. Maybe they go that way.
I'd like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, we appreciate the phone call today, bro.
No problem. Have a good day, guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, Kiss 92.5. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hi, I'd like to request a song.
Okay, what's your name?
Adriana.
Shouldn't you be in school?
Michaela. Can you play Spice Girls? Hi, my name's Alessia.
Shouldn't you guys be in school right now?
No.
Why not?
Because it's PA Day.
No, it's not, you liar.
No, it's not. You're at school right now.
No, yeah, we're not. We are.
You don't think Mocha and I know what the sound of a school sounds like?
Are you guys in class or are you skipping?
No, we're
class. Oh, which class?
Business.
Where's your teacher at?
He didn't show up today.
What's at all? Wait.
What's your teacher's name?
We don't.
No, Mr.
So what? Say what again?
Mr. Penguin.
Mr. Penguin. Oh.
What school do you go to?
Pardon me?
What school do you go to?
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
It's just a school.
Well, then listen, if you're not going to be straight up and answer our questions, then there's no way in hell we're going to play any Spice Girls for you.
We gotta go.
Mr. Penguin showed up.
Mr. Penguin just walked back in the room.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
Time to get to the truth, Roz. Truth.
Oh, we had Ask Roz and Mocha already?
Yeah, man.
I love this part of the podcast because we actually can take some time and go through stuff and answer some fantastic questions. And Instagram has been the greatest resource of this. People really open up and ask some fantastic questions through Instagram.
They also ask some real weird ones.
No, they do. They ask some incredibly weird ones. So who was on the phone? That's the other best part, too, is you may get a call from Maury if you do put up an Ask Roz and Mocha question on Instagram. And then you, too, get to be a part of the podcast. So
right.
Here we go.
At Kiss925, by the way, on Instagram. Hello, Assy. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Thank you for asking your question. Feel free to go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, so what I wanted to know is if your spouse could change one thing about you, what do you think that would be and why? And that's for everyone.
Like if your spouse could change one thing physically or one thing
So it could be, yeah, either physically or some kind of a personality trait or a habit.
Okay.
I would say my wife would change two things.
Oh, wow.
Number one would be snoring.
Yeah.
Number two would be...
What? What?
I can't even
just say it.
It's so embarrassing.
What's so embarrassing?
Because I'm a grown-ass man, I still have nightmares, and I scream in my sleep.
Right.
And it just happened the other night,
right,
where she woke me up three times in a matter of like 5 minutes. Okay, she was so mad.
So Mocha's wife, Jenna, would get rid of the snoring and, God, sleep with you sounds like a disaster. Why don't you guys have separate rooms?
We might have to.
And also Mocha has nightmares that he winds up screaming in the night.
The other night, she was like, what were you dreaming about? And at first I lied. I was like, I don't know. And then it happened the second time. And she goes, okay, seriously, what were you dreaming about? And I was like, I don't know. And then the third time, all within 5 minutes, she's like, okay, come on, you have to know. And I told her,
it was what?
Like monsters and aliens.
Monsters and aliens.
Oh, man.
So hold on a second here. You woke up and went back to the same dream three times? That's crazy.
Yeah, three times.
Wow.
That's deep, man. That's deep. Damn it, Maury.
Oh, God. I mean, where do I begin? It would have to be money stuff. It would have to be...
Okay, but let me rephrase this. Do you think, Maury, that your husband, Matthew, if he got to change one thing about you... Would he do something behavioral or would he do something physical?
It wouldn't be physical. It would be better with money.
But what about how many times you've told us in this room that on an almost daily basis, Matthew will physically touch your belly and say and says to you, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah, but that's subsided because now we can't travel for my birthday or anything because I don't save money. And he's like, you're ruining your own birthday.
Right.
Because you're wasting all of our money.
Yeah, yeah, that's true too.
And number two would be like, he always says, for the love of God, stop leaving toothpaste in the sink. And
Like the tube of toothpaste.
You know, when
in
I
the
spit,
sink?
It just sits and dries
Ew.
Up on the side.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah,
that's gross.
Yeah, why can't you spit properly?
I do, but like it's gobs of spit, and that like there's not enough water.
Gobs.
like gobs of toothpaste, Ew. And there's not enough water to make it go down, and I don't want to touch it.
Spitting is a real masculine trait too, huh?
Yeah.
Like when I know, like the guys that I've known in my life who are real, like world champion horkers were always like the manliest men that I've ever
met.
Like
the guys who can spit legit in between their teeth and it goes far.
Yeah, or like hit a target kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I've never been man enough to hit a target with hork.
So what about you, Roz? If Catherine could change one thing.
And you can't say there's nothing to change.
Well, I was going to say that one of the things that I love about Catherine is that she thinks I'm perfect.
Okay.
One of the reasons, the key, if somebody says to me, hey, what's the key to your relationship? It's very successful. And I always come back with, it's because Catherine thinks I'm perfect.
All right.
I know one thing she would change about you.
What do you know about her?
I know, because she's tweeted this once, that you use periods too much in texts.
No,
she would tell you to stop doing that.
Okay, then if that's the worst my life is, then that's the worst my life is. Proper punctuation. No, I don't know, because I don't really, like, I don't keep her up at night. I don't.
Yeah.
I would say, okay, I have a habit of, I have two sort of modes. I have loving Roz at home where I'm kind, compassionate, and that type of guy, right?
Yeah.
I talk to Catherine differently than I talk to most other people in the world. But every now and then, Catherine and I find ourselves in a situation, whether we're dealing with, you know, working with contractors or dealing with, you know, money stuff or anything else, where I'm not mean to her, but I wind up talking the way that I do when I'm doing business with people. And she hates it because she finds it very aggressive and off-putting.
Right.
And she's always like, I don't like it when you talk to me like that. And I'm like, but you have to understand, that is how I talk to people 90% of my life. You get the 10% where I'm actually a kind person. If people saw the way that I talk to you, they wouldn't recognize me.
Right.
Right. So I think that because every now and then I sort of flip that switch and you know.
Have I ever met loving Roz?
No. No.
And you never will.
No, you have not. Thanks very much for the call, man.
Yeah, no worries. You guys are great. Keep it up.
Right on.
Appreciate it.
Here's a question from Muhammad Masood. What salary do you have to make per year before you stop worrying about money altogether? That's a great question. I read an article. I don't know whether you have to worry about money. I think that once you start making money, the goal should be to pay yourself first, put a little savings away, and keep the creditors off your ass, right?
Sure.
That should be your bare minimum goal. So you can afford where you live. It's nothing extravagant. You can afford where you live. You can afford to eat decently. You can save a little bit of money and have a little bit of fun. I think that when you're at that point, and I don't know what that is now living in a city like Toronto. Like if you're alone, we have to be talking around 75 grand a year in order to you want to own a place, you want to do whatever.
But if you have a family.
If you have a family, that's completely different. It's completely different. $2 million bucks maybe? No, make a money per year of where you stop thinking about money. Where you stop thinking about money, not trying to be rich. Like the question isn't at what point do you feel rich? It's at what point do you stop worrying about money?
God.
I would say pay yourself a little bit of money, right?
Yeah.
Put a little bit of money away when you don't have to worry about where the rent is coming from and you don't have creditors on your ass.
I say when you can afford lunch one day and dinner the next, you're good.
Okay. But there was a great study that was done years ago, and they measured the correlation between money and happiness. And I think that that's where a lot of this comes from.
Like 200 grand?
No, it was less than that. Because what they found was, and it may have gone up now, just inflation and the way that the world is. But what they had found was that the sweet spot was $90,000. And what they realized was that the level of happiness between people who made 90 grand a year and people who made 90 million a year was no different.
There was no difference in the level of happiness.
Yeah.
So your happiness level sort of capped out at $90,000 a year. And then you continued in the same sort of headspace and wavelength and level of happiness, regardless of what you made after that. You could win the lottery.
Quickly answer your question, though. Yeah. They did a study on City News one night where they said it was between $65,000 and $75,000 where you're comfortable, where you don't have to worry about the rent and groceries and stuff like that. That's the most comfortable Canadian salary.
Right. But not happy, though.
No. But comfortable being able,
yeah. So I would even say 75. If you're alone living in the city, 75 grand.
Lisa Mason, her question to the Roz and Mocha Show: what food would you never eat?
Oh, jeez.
What food would you never eat?
Oh,
I would have to say anything that had bugs in it.
Right. No, but regular food. Like I could easily say marinated walrus anus. Right.
And. That's disgusting.
You know what I mean?
Like, but no one
I'm
would
not,
eat that.
But I'm not. Yeah, they do. I'm not going to eat rectum. Some people eat rectum. I'm not. I'm not going to do
oh
it.
My God.
So can we just move into the world of regular food?
Like regular food?
Yeah. Like let's not put bugs and rectum on the list. Let's go to the list of what you can buy in like Metro or Loblaws.
Okay. What food would I never eat?
Yeah.
I could never bring myself to eat like a veggie burger.
Really?
Yeah, never. Never.
I'm going to applaud that because the man knows what he likes. So you could never bring yourself to eat a veggie burger.
Absolutely not. I'd rather starve.
You are the exact opposite of a vegetarian. Where vegetarian, it's almost like a moral thing with them often, where they just could never bring themselves to eat meat because it's just something it does to their soul. Where you're the exact opposite. Like you could never.
No.
Like you could never just like never eat a veggie burger.
Never. I could be on like zero food for 5 days and someone walks up to me and says, listen, I'm gonna solve all your problems right now. Yeah. You have to eat a veggie burger. I'd be like, nah, fam, I'm good.
Some of them are not bad though.
No.
What would you never eat, Maureen?
I would never eat olives.
Never.
I can't
eat
olives. I will never eat olives. And the minute an olive touches my tongue, I vomit.
Yeah. I don't believe that, by the way.
I have to hold my breath when I pass the olive bar at the grocery store. I literally go,
I think that you've made up this olive
No, I mean, I'm willing to prove it to you one day.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you have to lay down plastic.
No, but I think that it's all in your head is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that it's psychosomatic.
You're not like allergic to olives. You just don't like them.
Has any medical professional ever told you that you're allergic to olives?
You can't test that.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, you can.
You can't test the allergic
to olives. Of course you can.
Of course you can.
Well, then I should take the test.
Okay. Yeah. But if nobody's ever told. So you're self-diagnosed olive allergy.
Oh, and artichokes.
And artichokes.
I just don't like Ghibli foods.
Ghibli. Okay.
How about you, Ross? Before we go, what is your the one food that you would never eat?
Geez. I mean, back on that, I have in the past enjoyed a Ghibli ass though. what food would I never eat? I mean, you know me, I don't live the sight and sound of a banana, but it's mainly my problem with bananas is other people eating them. I find it so revolting. Yeah. I find it just disgusting watching somebody else eat a banana.
You don't like sweets.
I don't like sweets. I would never go out of my way to eat something sweet. Never. Right. I would never do it, whether it's cake or anything like that. I would never go out of my way to eat something sweet.
And you don't like ketchup.
I don't like ketchup.
Like, can he answer?
Yeah. He really needs the help of
Maury,
me telling
you
him.
Just know me so well.
All right. That's a wrap.
Ghibli ass.
Listen. Thank you so much for all of your questions. Every week we're going to post them. Ask Roz and Mocha at Kiss925. Ask your question. And we'll answer.
I'm so upset we did not get to what is your greatest fashion regret?
Oh, cargo shorts.
Let's answer that one next week.
Okay, there we go.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com
or on the Kiss 92.5 app.